Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for our meditation this evening is our Old Testament lesson for this Thanksgiving Eve, recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at the 10th verse. Then you will eat and you will be filled, and you will praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be very careful so that you do not forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments and ordinances and his statutes that I am commanding you today. When you eat and are satisfied, and you build nice houses and move into them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold increase, and everything that you have prospers, watch out so that your heart does not become arrogant and forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt where you were slaves. Do not forget the Lord who led you in the great and terrifying wilderness, where there were venomous snakes and scorpions, where the thirsty ground had no water. But the Lord made water come out of a flint rock for you. Do not forget the Lord who in the wilderness fed you manna, which your fathers had not known before, to humble you and to test you so that it would be good for you later on. You might say in your heart, "My ability and the power of my hand have earned this wealth for me." But then you are to remember that the Lord your God is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth, to confirm his covenant that he promised your fathers with an oath, as he does to this day. Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are your truth. We ask that you'd increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, if you were to look at a list of all of the national holidays that we have in the United States, you'd probably recognize that one kind of sticks out like a sore thumb because of its religious nature. And that, of course, is the national holiday of Christmas. We maybe are surprised that we have a national holiday of Christmas because we as a nation pride ourselves in the separation of church and state. But perhaps it isn't too surprising to have a religious holiday because I don't think that Christmas is really the only religious holiday we have in the United States of America. In fact, I would argue that Thanksgiving is also religious in nature. The leaders of our country who decided that we should celebrate every year to have this occasion on which to give thanks weren't just thinking that there was plenty of things that we should give thanks for, but there was someone that we should give thanks to. Abraham Lincoln was the president who decided that Thanksgiving should be celebrated every year in the month of November. And he said this concerning Thanksgiving. He said, "It's a national day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." You see, it was the intention of our leaders in this country to recognize the giver of all good things, God. And so this evening, as we consider the wonderful blessings that we have been given, let us not forget the giver, but remember the Lord your God, remembering especially by bringing to mind what he has done and remembering by living for him. Do you really think it's necessary to tell a Christian to remember the Lord your God? After all, how could any of us forget who God is and what he has done for us, right? But note in our text for today that God had these words originally spoken to the children of Israel. If anyone wasn't to forget what God had done for them, it should have especially been the children of Israel. They were only a few decades past the point when God had rescued them from the land of Egypt. While many of them hadn't experienced slavery in Egypt themselves, they had heard the stories from the previous generation. We can maybe imagine the children of Israel wandering in the desert. Many occasions as the family maybe gathers around a fire, as the child speaks, "Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, tell us the story again about what it was like in slavery in Egypt. Tell us again about the 10 plagues. Tell us again what happened at the Red Sea. Tell us again how God destroyed Pharaoh and his army and set us free as a people." Certainly those stories were shared time and time again. But God was concerned that his people were going to forget. They were going to forget the amazing rescue that he had performed for them. And the reason was because God knew of the great prosperity that they would have as they would now enter into the promised land. He was concerned that they would forget all about him and what he had done for them. Could we ourselves today do the same thing? Maybe forget about the Lord our God. If God was to relay to us his rescue, what do you think he would say today to this generation? He probably wouldn't go back to the rescue from Egypt, but he'd probably point us to our rescue from our slavery to sin. He'd remind us, wouldn't he, of his plan and his work, of how he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to live a holy and perfect life. Now he suffered and died on a cross and for us and for our sins, and through that, he set us completely free. He would likely also point us again to our baptisms, by which he washed us clean of our sins, and he'd remind us of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to bring us to faith and to bring us into his family. He'd remind us of our lostness and our sin, but how he changed all that through Jesus, and he brought us to faith and has guaranteed for us a perfect place forever with him in heaven. But can we too forget God's amazing work of rescue for us? Life is busy, isn't it? Life is busy, especially if you're in the thick of things with raising a family or in the midst of a career or maybe both. It's incredibly busy. Thinking about all of the work obligations we have and school obligations, maybe running our children to sports practices or musical performances, or needing to go to social events. There's so many things that we need to do to get done, and it fills up our schedule. We also want to spend time with our families, recreation, go on vacation. There's so many things that we want to do and get done. But do we forget God? Times in the midst of it all. Is he maybe pushed aside in our schedules? Where does he come in the ranking of priorities when it comes to church, when it comes to spending time in his word? And even when we do those things, maybe do we just kind of go through the motions or simply rush through them as something that needs to be done to get on to the next thing that we have? Yes, we too can forget. We can forget God's amazing rescue and what he has done for us and what we are in him. God also was concerned that the children of Israel would forget not only that he had rescued them from Egypt, but that they would forget that God is the one who provided all things for them. It was so easy to see when they were wandering in Egypt or wandering in the wilderness, wasn't it? Because God provided for them in such miraculous ways, as it mentions in our text, the water from the stone or the manna from heaven. Many other miracles, as their sandals didn't wear out and their clothing neither. For all those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, it was so clear that God was the one providing for them every step of the way. But God knew that as they entered into that new land, the promised land, things would change. They would still be provided by God, but it maybe wouldn't be so clear to see for them, as they would now plant and harvest. By their own hands would they build their homes in which to dwell. They would prosper, gaining much wealth. God was concerned that they were going to forget. They were going to forget that he's the one behind it all, providing for them. As we too at times can forget that very thing too. As we enjoy much wealth and prosperity in the United States of America, sometimes we can think that it's all on us. It's because of us and our strength and our ability and our work ethic that we have all that we have. We've gained all of it for ourselves. But God wants to remind us it all comes from him, every bit of it. Maybe you can imagine a child one day coming up to his mother and saying, "Mom, I'd like to have a garage sale." And so mom likes that idea. She says, "Yes, go ahead, son, have a garage sale." So he goes into his room and he gets a whole bunch of things from his room, and then he goes in the garage and he finds other things. He goes around the house, he finds all sorts of things, and he brings them into the garage. He gets some tables out and he puts signs up, and soon people from the neighborhood are coming and they're buying all sorts of things from the boy's garage sale. At the end of the day, the mother comes up to her son and she said, "Well, son, how'd it go? You know, how'd you do?" He said, "Mom, I made over $100. And she's like, "Wow, that's great, awesome." Then she gets a little curious. "What exactly did you sell?" He goes on, "Well, you know, I sold that winter coat you bought for me last year. I didn't really like it. That iPad that I got for my birthday, well, you know, I figure maybe I'll get a new one next year. Toys that I had in my room, some shoes that I didn't really like or care for." Soon the mother grows angrier and angrier. "You sold all of those things that I bought for you?" She realizes that everything that he sold at the garage sale, she had given to him. And so she told her son that that money really belongs to her. But he goes on to argue, "But Mom, I put all that hard effort into the garage sale. I worked so hard for that money." And she, in her anger, goes on to say, "Well, who provides a roof over your head and clothes on your back and food for your stomach? Who gave birth to you?" And the boy hands over the money to his mother. We too, at times, can act like that naive child, thinking that it's all because of us and our hard work and effort that we have the blessings that we enjoy today, not acknowledging their true source, that they come from God. Think about it. Every material thing that we own, anything that you can name, doesn't it ultimately come from the one who made all material, who created it from nothing? And even our hard work and our effort, even our own bodies, our mind, our intellect, our ability, doesn't that too come from God? Isn't he the one that gave us those things as well? So often, though, we can be so arrogant and prideful, thinking that it was all because of us that we enjoy such blessings. But it's really all because of him. You know, God certainly could condemn us for our arrogance. He certainly could say, "Well, have it your way. If you think that you did this all on your own, well, I'll let you see how that works out for you." But instead, what has he done? He forgives us. He forgives us for our arrogance and pride, for forgetting about him and thinking that we ourselves are the one who should get all the credit. And his forgiveness never ends, does it? He doesn't just forgive us once, but he continues to forgive. Even though we continue to be so foolish and arrogant and prideful when we have no reason to be, his forgiveness continues to flow, though, as a spring that continues to produce water that we can be refreshed and enjoy. So also God's forgiveness and love continues to come for us, as he reminds us of that regularly in his word time and time again, in places such as 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, which says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Every sin, no matter how many times we've committed it, is forgiven in Christ. And he reminds us that he is the one who's given us everything, especially our life and our freedom from sin in him. But he doesn't want us just to remember in our minds him and what he has done for us. He wants us to remember him with our lives as well. In our text for today, God had Moses speak these words to the people as he tells them as they enter the promised land, "Then you will eat and you will be filled, and you will praise the Lord your God for the good land that he had given you." God knew the response of the children of Israel when they entered into the promised land. This was going to be a radical change for them. They were going to experience such wealth and prosperity, and they were going to know where it came from. It came from God. and they were going to praise him with their lips. But he knew also that over the course of time, they were likely to forget, likely to take all of those things for granted. And so he wanted them to continue to praise him and to thank him with their words, with their actions. You know, God gives us plenty of opportunities, doesn't he, to thank him with our lips. Such opportunities as we have this very evening to gather together as Christians to sing his praises, to sing of the wondrous things that he has done for us. He also provides plenty of opportunity to come to him in prayer as well. You know, so often in our lives of prayer, we probably think of the big long list that we have of all the things we need from God. But God invites us not just to pray for our needs, but also to come to him in prayer in thanksgiving, to thank God for so many things that he has poured out and blessed us with. And he invites us to do that, especially on an occasion such as this, on Thanksgiving, to thank him for his blessings of salvation, to thank him for his physical blessings too. It's been said when the pilgrims first came to America that they had a very difficult winter. As you probably well know, that very first winter, they were on the brink of starvation. In fact, many people did die. It was said that the pilgrims, in fact, got to one point where the ration of corn got down to 5 kernels a day per person. Can you even imagine that? Only being able to live off 5 kernels of corn a day. And yet, some of them did survive that first winter. They had the practice afterward to have an annual day of thanksgiving to God. And it said that the pilgrims had a certain thing that they would do at their Thanksgiving meals. They had the custom of laying 5 kernels of corn near everyone's place. And before they had enjoyed that meal, they were supposed to look at the corn and be reminded that was the daily ration for them when they first came to this country. But also to take the time and to say thank you for 5 things that God had given them over the course of the year. You know, what an opportunity we have, especially tomorrow as we, many of us, gather with our families for a great meal. And then we can enjoy all of that time with family and friends and the great feast. Let's not forget, though, on that occasion to give thanks to God, to maybe even individually vocalize our thanks to him, but let's not stop there. Let's say thanks to God every single day of the year, to thank him for everything that he has done as we sing his praises, as we offer our prayers to him. But he also desires that we do so, not just in our words, but also our actions as well. You see, God said that the children of Israel, he said that they could forget him, even in their actions. But he said, do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and ordinances and statutes that I am commanding you today. He invited them to remember him, to remember what he had done, to remember him by their prayers and praises, but also to remember him in their deeds, what they did. I want you to imagine a father and mother who one day decide that they're going to give their son an incredible gift. They decide that they want to give him a brand new car for his 16th birthday. In order to do that, though, they realize they have to scrimp and save for many years. And so they save away so much money. Now, they're not able to buy nice things for themselves or go on trips that they maybe would have liked to go on. They have to sacrifice in order to make this purchase. But on his 16th birthday, they give their son a little gift, a little package, and he opens it up, and it's the keys to the brand new car. When he sees it, he can't believe his eyes, and he can't believe that mom and dad would have given him such an incredible gift. It's so big. How could you afford it? And they go on to tell him all of the sacrifice that they had to make over the previous years. And he says, wow, thank you so much for doing this for me. I want you to imagine that that son got in that car that day and he found some of his friends and they got some beer and got drunk and he smashed the car. What would you think about that son and his appreciation for the gift? Well, you probably think that he really didn't show by his actions that he appreciated that gift much at all. We maybe would expect that that son instead of being so careless with the gift and not wanting to listen to mom and dad and their commands for him, instead, a good son, a grateful son, would be one who would want to do what mom and dad says, would want to care for that gift very carefully. Maybe even ask them, what would you want me to do? How do you want me to care for the car? What other chores can I do that around the house to show my thankfulness to you? Well, in a much greater way, God has made an incredible sacrifice for you and for me, hasn't he? A far greater sacrifice than saving away for a few years. He's given the gift of his son into death for us and for our salvation. He's given us the gift of his grace to buy us an eternal home of heaven, something far greater than a brand new car. And what is our response? Our response is one of thanksgiving and gratefulness. To say, God, how can I show you my thanksgiving in what I do, in what I say? Is there a wealth of opportunities that God gives us to do exactly that? As he invites us to follow his commands, not in order to earn a place in heaven, but to show our gratitude for him for all that he has done. Yes, when we look through that list of American holidays, there are some that especially stick out to us. Let us recognize Thanksgiving, though, as a holiday that has a religious focus. It encourages us not just to recognize all of the blessings that we have, but especially to recognize the giver of them all, God. Let us on this Thanksgiving remember the Lord our God. Remember all that he has done for us, how he has provided for us, he has earned for us eternal salvation. Let us do so not just in our minds, but also with our words and our actions. Remembering our gracious God, whose love never fails. Amen. I invite you to please rise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore.